Here comes a new challenger. From 8-bit to 35mm, game pads to the silver screen, your favorite video game characters are on a quest to become movie icons. Can they unlock the achievement? Let's go for broke! It's time to press X to reload.
All these folks behind me are keen on y'all proving you can do the impossible. I'm here to prove that you can't. This is not a game.
You're going to be forced to make split-second decisions that could cost you your life. These are incredible stakes. And if you're not willing to risk it, I want you to walk away. Because if you stay, I'm going to push you harder than you have ever been pushed. And I'm going to prove that you don't have what it takes. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Press X to Reload, where it's time to toss on your racing helmet, pull out your overpriced steering wheel controller, and jump on that track to try and find all the best video game adaptations we can find. I am Nick Moore. With me are Wayne Brissett and Mark Athanas. Wayne.
Vroom, vroom. Here I am.
And Mark.
Ready to go.
We are here to discuss Gran Turismo, fairly recent video game film. This was released in 2023, so one of the more recent ones we've watched. It is based kind of on the game, but more on events that were inspired by the game itself. It is one of those based on a true story, in quotation marks, kind of things. Wayne had recommended this, well, not recommended, Wayne had suggested this film, perhaps to cleanse our palate after King of Fighters, because it looks like this one might have been more positively received by critics and audiences alike. So we're going to hold off on Wayne's opinion and go to Mark's, since you're kind of neutral coming into this, but I feel like you were a racing fan.
Well, I love Gran Turismo. So for me, this was fantastic because of one simple reason. We can get into all the things it does well, but like, it just never lost sight of the fact that it was a racing video game movie.
Okay.
It did just enough to remind you, hey, this is still based off a video game. And just enough to just be straight racing. And it balanced, I found, those two things well for me, where it was just like, if it ever starts to feel like just a racing movie, it was like, oh no, they threw in a sound effect or a graphic that was like, right, Gran Turismo. But they never overdid it. So I thought it was fantastic. I think it's a great movie. I think whether you're a video game fan or not, I think it's a fun movie to watch. It's a true story, which, when you get into the plot of this, that's wild.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely insane. Wayne, how happy are you that you got to bring this to the table after I brought King of Fighters to the table?
Pretty happy.
So it's interesting because I also think this is a fantastic film, like Mark said. But it's interesting. I saw it a different way than how Mark just kind of described it. I at no point did I ever feel like this was a video game, or I felt a video game in this movie, other than the beginning when they show them the kid playing Gran Turismo. That's different, because in a way I almost feel like this movie could suffer because of its title, right? Because it's based on true events around an event inspired by Gran Turismo, but because these video game adaptations suffer from from what we're doing here, the title could hinder it, right? Because people would think, really, a movie based on Gran Turismo? And it's like, but it's not, right? It's based on an event that is inspired by the game Gran Turismo. Either way, it's a pretty fantastic film that I thought moved at a great pace. It was exciting. It found a way to keep you on the edge of your seat. And because I didn't know of these events, I found it, I myself even more invested in what this character was going through. Because I didn't know this took place.
Okay.
My only regret is actually not knowing this took place, to be able to follow it live, to be like, is this really happening? Is this kid going to kill himself? Because this is crazy.
That is a fair point. So for those of you who aren't up to speed on this, in the early 2010s, an executive at Nissan got the idea of the Gran Turismo games have this massive online following. And these are people who are adamantly passionate about not just racing, but cars themselves, the amount of dedication and the amount of detail that's put into the Gran Turismo games by its creator to make sure that the tracks are accurate, that the physics are as close as possible for its time, that the cars are accurate. They wanted something that they wouldn't call a video game. They'd call it a simulation. And Nissan had the idea of, okay, well, let's promote the top players in the world and try and train them to become real race car drivers to show that that skill on the console translates into real life. And the movie follows the gentleman who won that online competition and had an opportunity to actually learn how to become a real race car driver and compete. I am a sucker for underdog stories, especially sports ones. It's weird. I don't really watch sports in real life. Maybe it's because I have to put up with all the in-between before I get to the highlights, whereas films are always the highlights and always the emotional struggle, whereas you watch sports and I'm like, okay, number 62. I don't know that guy. I don't care about his struggles. I just know that he's racing or he's dribbling a basketball or he's swinging a bat. But the films, they get you invested. This movie, my family had the living room to themselves. I'm like, all right, fine. Anyone want to watch this with me? I couldn't convince them. They suck. They missed out. So I go up to my room. I put it on the TV. I'm lying down on my bed to watch it. By two-thirds of the way into this, I am sitting up literally on the goddamn edge of my bed. And I've put my notebook down. Yeah. I've stopped writing notes. I'm in. This movie is engaging.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. And we'll get into the details of it. And if you're one to avoid spoilers, we're going to spoil a bunch of stuff. So, you know, go watch it and come back. But
I think that's all our videos.
Well, yeah. Well, I warn people on the ones that I like, because if it's bad, you'll probably never watch it. So spoil away. But this, I think you should see.
We're not actually we didn't review the movies. We're just giving our opinion, which I guess is a form of review, but it's we're just talking about it. We don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But with this one in particular, I'm always frustrated by films that say based on a true story, based on true events. And then if you look into the actual story, it's like 1/10 at best is what happened. The worst offender being Bloodsport. And I love that movie, but I don't even know if any of that happened. But this one is really, really close. I was surprised at how much of this happened. There's one major deviation, and that's just a timeline thing in terms of a crash, which there's some criticism for it, and I get it, but whatever. Dramatic license. Sorry, it's too late. But other than that, everything else is on point.
Also, what I didn't know until after I saw the movie, because when the movie came out, I had heard it was based on a true story. So I kind of went in watching it knowing that, which I thought was crazy. But what I found out after I watched the movie was, that wasn't the first, like, the movie makes it seem like this is the first season they did that. It was actually a series. He was the third winner of the Gran Turismo contest. So they had actually had an established track record, which I thought, like, from the outset, like, obviously he's the most successful racer that that program produced. But I was actually really just impressed by Nissan to take this crazy, kooky idea, and they ran with it for multiple years. And I don't know that they produced Champions until Jan Martinborough won. So, like, it's kind of cool that they stuck with it that long.
Absolutely.
I was impressed. I actually became impressed at Nissan for saying yes to this. Like, it's I'm not a gearhead by any means. Like, so I'm not a supercar. Like, I like cool, fast cars, but I'm not, like, I couldn't tell you what's under the hood. But a series that I am absolutely hooked on, kind of following your, like, I like sports, but I don't like watching racing. I'm not as engaged watching a cars race around a track. But if you can watch Drive to Survive, it is one of the best reality TV shows I've ever seen. And it's all about F1 driving.
Okay.
And so when they said they were going to get these kids behind a sports vehicle, my first thought was, they said it in the movie, which I appreciated, where Jan's father is like, but you're not an athlete. Like, but, like, no, driving cars is real, and you need to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Because the G-forces required for you to drive the car, that's a real thing. Like, people don't think race car drivers are athletes. Go get in a go-kart and take a corner fast and tell me if you don't feel your glutes engaging. Like, it's a real thing.
I think that's where it shows a testament to the simulator Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Is how these, we'll call them kids, how these kids can play this game, and the only thing they need to teach them is the physical aspect of, we're not going to contest. You know the car. You have more track time on these tracks than the actual racers do. but your physical body isn't prepared because you don't get that experience in the simulator.
Right. Like the amount of endurance.
Very similar to, I think they compared it to like flight simulators, right?
Yeah.
Pilots use flight simulators all the time. So why would that be any different? But you still have to train your body to be physically prepared to what you're about to get into.
Yeah. Right. And you have to train.
It's a G-force problem.
You have to train your body also so that you're fit enough that when you're behind the wheel, you can still focus while all this is happening. Because guaranteed, I'm going 360 miles an hour in a car, my brain is melted. I have no idea which way I'm going anymore.
Well, you know what, though? Like, so I had an opportunity to go to, like, drive a race car on a racetrack in Vegas.
Okay.
Again, souped-up car. It was a Porsche, but, like, people were driving, like, Lamborghinis and Ferraris and stuff like that. But it doesn't feel like what you think it feels until you get to hard acceleration, hard braking, hard cornering. That's a thing.
Okay.
And, like, you feel it. And, again, those cars aren't these cars. Like, again, they're high-end sports cars. They're not race cars. So, like, I can only imagine. Plus the heat. Like, they talk about, like, the reason they wear those suits, they're not just fireproof. It's, like, the heat. It helps them with the G-force. Like, it's hot as hell when you get behind those engines. So, like, it's cool, man. It's really cool that they – the reality of this was blowing my mind the whole way. Like, it's just the fact that this happened. I kept saying that to myself. Like, this is actually happening.
I don't know about you guys. Myself, out of all the types of sports movies that are there, I often struggle with racing ones because if it's not filmed properly, I can't tell who's winning, who's in what position, what's going on. The video game aspects they were using where it would freeze frame, show the pole position of Jan, and do the little PlayStation 2 boot up noise when it came up.
They were amazing.
I found that helpful.
Yeah, and familiar.
But those are the parts I was talking about because I found that sometimes even while the race was going and he was passing a car and you'd see his position change, you'd see the number above the car change.
Yeah, and that's great.
That's right out of the game. Like it is. If you rewatch, like if you did your race and you know sometimes after the race is over, the cars are still whipping around the track and sometimes you could see a repeat of the old Turismo thing. Those are the moments that brought me back to Turismo. Those are the moments where, whether it was the angle they filmed it at or whether it was just that, again, simple, mild graphics. Not a lot. Simple, mild graphics. Not till the end where they go like big, where the car comes apart around him and he's back in his living room or his bedroom.
Which I loved.
And then it goes back to the moment because he's like, he's remembering something about the tracks. Like, just they did just enough to remind me of Turismo, for me to remind me.
Yeah. Just little things like that, or when it's showing, it's using the guiding lines that the game would show you to know how to take a turn, but he's visualizing it when he's on the track, so you have a better kind of viewpoint into the mind's eye of him as a racer. The duality of at the beginning when he's in his simulation at home with his crazy setup that he has, and when he gets into the zone, his bedroom falls away so that he's on the track. And now at the end of it, when he's trying to focus and he's getting hyped up and he's trying to win, the car falls away from him and he's back into his bedroom and he's able to like relax and focus and he's able to do what he needs to win. Both of those moments are really impressive and affecting. And it's a smart way of bringing the video game aspect of Turismo back into it without ruining the fact that this isn't a movie based off of the game. It's a movie based off of an event that involved the game. It still feels like a sports movie more than a video game movie.
Yeah.
It's a really smart hybrid.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? I thought that was really cool.
I thought they balanced it well.
Yeah.
I thought they balanced it really well.
All of that stuff I thought was really cool. The only thing I was disappointed about, only because I loved him so much in this, of all of the characters that they show in this, most of which being based off of someone real, obviously our protagonist, Jan Martinborough, he is a real racer. You know, Orlando Bloom's exec, they changed the name, but he's still based off of an exec over at Nissan. But David Harbour's character doesn't exist,
and apparently. He's incredible.
He's just an amalgamation of people that he dealt with. But I love him in this. He's so good. Awesome.
He's my favorite character.
His whole attitude towards the whole thing is incredible.
Yeah.
But also watching him develop and grow with it works. It's a second underdog story growing with it, and it works.
It is. Like, this has all of the staples of, like, the best kind of racing films. He's that grizzled mentor who doesn't believe in the hero.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. No, at all.
But it also makes sense. You're not just writing this guy off like, oh, he doesn't believe in him because he's written that way. It's like, no, I wouldn't believe in it too if I was in his position.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah,
bunch of gamers who say they can
race. He's a racer.
Yeah, you'd be like, this isn't a game. This is you're going to die out here.
Yeah, I love he drives that home. Just the you crash in the game, you reset. You crash here, you die, or worse, you kill someone else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he's really blunt about it.
Like, his first line to them or whatever is, all these people are happy you're here and think you can do it. I'm here to prove them you can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
He doesn't even finish with, prove me wrong. He just goes, you're all going to wash out because I know you can't do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
But congrats. He walks away.
But I love his character because I find his character grounds the movie.
Yes.
Because the concept should be ridiculous. But he grounds the movie because, again, like we were talking about, like, fighter pilots. If you told me a teenager at home was going to go join the war and be an ace pilot, I'm sure every real pilot who's sat behind a cockpit would tell you, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no way that could be a thing. So, like, it kind of he becomes the voice of the audience watching this 100%. To be like, I can't believe this is based off a real story. Yeah. I can't believe they did this, and I can't believe I'm supposed to believe these kids can drive. Except he grounds it, and then they show you, and they show you how hard it is, and they show you them working, and they show you the mistakes they make. So you're like, yeah, okay, it's not. These kids got behind the wheel of a sports car and were immediately amazing drivers. Like, he's having them drive slow and they're screwing up. Like, they're like, okay, this is cool.
But they still made them heroes by showing their knowledge of the cars, though.
Yes.
And that's where at the beginning of them being impressed with is, well, how did you know that? It's like, you don't realize how detailed this simulator is.
Well, like, early on in it, and I like that Jan's character, he's always just scraping by. He's not getting these glorious victories. He's just getting out. But early in it, when he has a moment where he's trying to pass, I think it's Maddie, his rival in the in like the Gran Turismo school,
the academy.
He has that moment where Jack Salter is going, you know, you need to pass him, you need to commit. And it looks like he's going to, but then when he doesn't and goes to hit the brakes, they glaze, like they're glazed, and they mess up on him. And he keeps insisting, it's not my fault. He's like, you crashed. I'm going to, you know, wash you out of this academy. He goes, the brakes were glazed. How would you know? I've put more hours in this track. I know these cars. I know that those brakes were wrong. And it turns out he's right. He knew, because he knew that if they were, if the brakes were properly deglazed, if they were operating it the way they should, he should have been able to stop there safely. But that knowledge is what has Jack still believe in him enough to give him one more chance. Most of the movie is him getting just one more chance, not about him winning, getting one more chance.
He does something to hang in.
I think, again, that's when he starts racing, even, he gets off to a good start. It's a good showing. Yeah. He doesn't, you know, he gets screwed and he ends up finishing like 28th or 27th on first race. But you think, okay,
but he finished.
He drove well enough. He drove well enough. That's awesome. His next race, DNF. Did not finish. Yeah. It's the best. Like,
some of those montages are really strong.
Yeah.
Oh, they're really good.
And they gave you just and again, going back to the strength of the way the racing was filmed, is no race felt like it overstayed its welcome.
No
race was under evaluated. Like we saw what we needed as we needed to keep you moving and to keep you on the edge of your seat to be like, what's happening in this race? Okay, cool. Oh, he didn't finish. Oh, that's kind of funny. I don't even need to see it. And that's funny. You know what I mean? Like they knew exactly how to do it and keep it entertaining.
Right. And as fans of it, I recognize the courses, which is nice.
Yeah, that was cool too. Yeah.
Well, and I kind of also appreciated too that like a real racing in the real, if again, basing this entirely off of like Drive to Survive, but like in the real racing world, he's not finishing first, second, third at the time. He's fourth, he's ninth, he's like in fifth. Like, you know, his main rival driving the golden vehicle, every time he passes that guy's not in first.
Nope.
He's in like sixth or fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like he's appropriately battling in the middle of the pack.
It's funny.
And I like that. I like that.
When you watch
the
villain's this,
not the guy who wins every race.
It's name who places first in the big race at the end. We never meet that character because that's not his rival, because he has no hope of first. He doesn't.
Do we know who won first on any of the races?
No.
No.
Because it wasn't important.
It's not relevant.
Well, correct. And to me, the best underdog stories don't have this person who's, you know, got the grit and they can prove they can do it, and then they're suddenly the absolute best. They just prove that they can hold their own. Like, Rocky doesn't win against Apollo. He just lasts 15 rounds. Jan doesn't. Jan's entire goal at the end of this isn't to place first at that last race. It's to hit the podium, to get third or better. He just has to get on the podium. And that's it.
I think that was actually really cool to see, not just on the last race, but to see the importance of just finishing, even like fifth for a team, is they're ecstatic. Oh, fifth! It's like you forget the importance of. Finishing is what maintains their license, which allows them their sponsors, which allows them to race. And it's like, it's obviously you want to win the race, but just the excitement of a team, even coming in fifth or sixth, and what that can do for them as a group.
Right.
I think that gets missed when you watch some like other racings. It's always about the best and winning.
Yes.
But you forget the importance of not winning and where you place is it could be just as exciting. And I thought, they showed that aspect of racing really well.
Well, they tell him when he's like going for his license. You just have to place in a race out of the next seven races. You just have to place fourth or better in one race to get your license.
Yes.
You just got to prove it once.
Well, and I appreciate too.
And he just got that fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
he's never racing for first or second.
No.
Yeah.
And every race is extremely exciting.
Yeah.
When he passes a guy from like 12th to 11th, the way they filmed to construct that scene, I'm just as excited. Like every time he passes any car at any place and time in the race,
you're excited for him.
Is filmed just as exciting because it's a good move to the outside. He makes an aggressive move or like he goes on the inside or he takes the guy on the straightaway. It's so good.
Was there not one race for a moment he was actually first and it was like, holy crap, he's like, he's first. Like, oh, wait, that was the bad. That's the bad one, right?
That's the one that went sideways on him.
Yeah.
Yes.
But prior to that moment, there's a holy shit.
For a brief moment there.
He's winning one of these goddamn races. Yeah. This is crazy.
He's in the lead on Rainbow Road, and then it all goes sideways.
Actually, was he winning? I don't think he was in first. I think he wasn't in first. I think he was in third or second, actually.
Either way.
I think he wasn't. I think he was recently in first, and they were like, you've got this, and then...
These races are so exciting. Yeah. I literally slammed my fist into my palm in excitement on the finish of one of them. I was like, I was into it. It's
me too, man. We were pleasantly surprised when this was done. We were like, man, this is great.
Yeah.
It has all of the hallmarks of like the best of a Bruckheimer film, like Days of Thunder or Top Gun. Like everything down to at the end when... You have to have, I can't just have a racer on the podium who's part of the program. It needs to be a team of these Gran Turismo racers. And you bring back, I think it's Anthony and Maddie. Maddie is his rival in the school. But now, just like Iceman and Top Gun, now he's good. On his side. Like, I love that your rival in the early days is now on your side, and you have your real baddie, let's call him, your real jerk of a rival that you're facing against, which, can I just sidebar for one moment? Why is the asshole in every goddamn movie I watch named Nick? Why is that always the case? This feels like a personal attack. I'm just saying.
Every time.
Do you want to hear the truth?
I mean,
I feel like I know the answer.
But he's always the guy who gets bit and doesn't say anything to anyone else. He's always the guy who's a douche for no reason. I'm just saying.
Is his nickname?
Sorry, I forget. Are we talking about the movies or the podcast?
Where the fuck is my sports car? I'm a dick like anybody else. I deserve my cut.
I just want to remind you of the last movie you made us watch.
Ah, fair. Fair.
No, question for you, boys.
I retract my question.
You guys played a lot of Gran Turismo?
I did. The first one.
I played the hell out of 3 A-Spec. That's the one I really put time into.
Do you remember doing the 24-hour races?
Yes.
Did you ever do them?
Yes.
I remember going to work. I'd have to leave my console on. Pause. Yep.
I did the rubber band thing.
Come back, GB racing for another 2 hours. Pause. Go eat dinner. Come back.
Race, I did the old track and did the rubber band on the two analogs and walked away.
No, I didn't rubber band it. I raced it.
You're a lunatic.
I raced it.
I raced it.
I raced it because I started it at night, played into the wee hours, paused it, slept, woke up the next day,
unpaused, keep
did stuff, came back, finished the race. You know what happened to me, though? It froze, and I had to start over.
Ooh.
So I actually ended up I'm talking about is the second time I did it. I was doing the race. I was like, okay, I'm going to pause it in good old PlayStation. The disc skipped. I must have hated it or something. And
if it makes you feel any better, my save file for Gran Turismo 3 A-Spec was on my memory card that corrupted itself. So I lost everything.
Yeah. Remember racing for your license?
Oh yeah.
Remember racing to get the A license, the S license?
I love racing games, but I'll admit, the past couple years, I haven't really touched them as much. Burnouts were my last ones.
I played more of the arcadey ones, the Hot Wheels Unleashed. I loved that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, stuff like that is fun and cool, but
simulation
I'll be honest,
ones,
when this movie was done, I felt like playing Gran Turismo.
Yeah, I kind of want to jump
I'm
back
not even
onto
gonna
it.
Lie.
Yeah.
I haven't popped 100%. It in yet because I'm trying to finish the second round of Elden Ring, but once that's done, I think I might pop in Gran Turismo.
The only thing I couldn't actually, and I don't know if you guys knew, I had no idea which version of the game they were playing in the movie. Because that wasn't GT1.
Well, I saw they had the PS3. They had the PS3 Gran Turismo there.
It would have to be PS3 because of the timeline. Yeah. Because these races took place between 2011 to 13. So it's got to be PS3 era.
Yeah. It'd be PS3.
Yeah. I didn't know which one that was. I never
played
that.
They did show the stack
playing,
of games, and the PS3 was the most recent one of his stack.
Now, that said, I feel like there's some callbacks to the earlier ones because the music that David Harbour's character, Jack Salter's, listening to, I swear he's exclusively listening to tracks from Gran Turismo 1 and 2.
Possibly.
I swear they're pulling licensed music that he was listening to back then.
I don't know if they kept the same sound, but I just know that when the lights go from red, yellow, green, that's right out of the first one. And I don't know if they just kept that sound for all the Turismos, but it brought me back to loading up your first race in Turismo when it was okay, go. So good.
Now, if we can talk about a couple of things that I thought are fantastic after the fact, because I thought the music that you have Jan listening to calm himself down, I thought that was something that they just threw into the script because it's funny. The fact that this kid from, what is it, London or something that he's in, is listening to Kenny G to calm himself down in the year of our Lord 2011. Really?
Yes.
And then at the 100%. End, he still listens to Kenny G and, what was it, Enya to calm down before he does a race. That's legitimate. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes. It is amazing.
That's the greatest credit scroll because you think it's a quirky movie thing. Yeah. And it's no. Everything about this movie, they took this real life thing that should be ridiculous and just remind you this all happened.
That's wild. And I still think one of the coolest things in terms of the after credit stuff they tell you is when they're showing the pictures of the actor who's playing Jan in the movie, Archie Matakwe.
Oh, the stunt driver.
and pictures of the real life Jan and showing kind of the evolution and this is legitimately this is the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then to finish that with, during all of the stunt scenes of driving, we got Jan, the real life driver, to do it. So this guy's playing the stunt driver for of his himself. Own character.
That's so cool.
He gets to relive all of the experiences, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool.
That's wild stuff to me. That you don't picture boxer, for example, Ali didn't come in to do the stunt work for Will Smith. Pretty weird, but it's awesome.
Well, what was cool too to me was that, again, impressed me, and again, this is a true story, is Jan has raced in over 200 races.
Yeah.
Over 200 races.
Yeah. He's I pulled up the wiki.
Race car driver.
And he's got a decent record. I pulled up the wiki and he's placed well in a number of races. He's good. I thought that was cool. But this is a movie that gets you to cheer for someone achieving fourth place. This movie gets you 100%. Invested.
I'd still beat him in the game.
Maybe. This movie has awesome lines like, let's go be immortal. I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I really liked that. Dude. Or what was it? He has that, again, that crash at the 2/3 mark of the film, and now he has this this kind of fear to get back in the saddle, so to speak, and our mentor character has to tell him about how he had a crash and someone died during it, and when he says to him, that crash won't define your life, but how you respond to it will. If you don't get back in the car now, you're never going to, because I didn't. That was a really affecting scene.
I actually really like that scene when he brings him out to the crash. And that's such a good scene.
Isn't that, I don't know why my heart was beating fast in that scene when he's like, finish your lap. And he hands him the keys. And they're not, it's not a sports car. I mean, it's not a racing car, but it's a sports car. Yeah. But they're just, he's like just slow and easy. And they're not going super fast. He's just driving.
Just wants him to cross
track.
The line. Just get across the line.
Just get it across.
Finish what you started that day.
Track. Finish your track. I don't know, man. That was
such a good mentor move.
That was really
for me. That was the point.
Powerful scene.
That was the point, though. When I think when I first finished watching this, I texted you guys and I said, if even 50% of this is true, this is fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
And this was the moment where it really triggered for me, because I was like, man, did this the crash itself was nuts. The fact that it kills somebody is crazy. The fact that Nissan still allows them to get back in a vehicle.
And this is where the controversy comes
in. On the movie. I'm talking about in the movie terms.
Okay? Yes.
We're watching them.
But in the movie, I'm like, holy crap.
And through the movie, I'm like, this is bonkers. Nissan's allowing them. Obviously, they said, don't be surprised if Nissan doesn't. And then the other racers were putting in their votes. So this is why he shouldn't be in here. And yada, yada. Mm. But the fact that he gets back in a car is like, this is crazy.
And it's handled, at least in the film, I understand some people getting upset because of changing timelines to create a dramatic effect, but it's handled really well in the film, so give it a pass. And frankly, the rest of the movie is good enough that I'll give it a pass. It's true to every character, feels true to life, even little things like when Jan's gonna go to this party and see this girl. Unlike a full-grown adult would do, which is go have an actual shower, he does what a stupid teenage boy would do and just nukes himself with aerosol deodorant that goes out the door. It's like, that's accurate.
Axe spray. Yeah.
He just nukes himself with it and runs out. That's accurate to a late teens boy. That's about right.
Yeah.
And he's awkward with the girl.
So awkward. But adorably awkward.
Yes.
Like, not creepy, but just he's appropriately awkward for a teenage boy. And which, again, brought me back into the movie again, grounding the characters, when you realize, shortly after that, he's talking to her about, where would you go? He's signing a contract and he's flying to Paris.
Yeah.
Not long after he's had this, heart to heart with his high school, crush. And they're talking about getting out of their small town in London. Yeah, he's out.
Yeah.
He's out in the world. And then, again, total cute teenage boy move. He takes her to the one place he's always wanted to go. He sends for her and brings her to Tokyo. So cool.
Yeah, he's a really, I know it sounds awful to say adorable for a word for it, but in those moments he really is, right? And he feels like a well-rounded character. You kind of get behind his struggle and his desire to prove himself to, probably more than anything, his father. He's really trying to prove, like, I'm worth something here. Like, what I'm doing is worth something. And that whole relationship is amazing.
Yes. One of the things that shocked me the most about this movie that I didn't know going into it and I took coming out of it was I thought it was an excellent commentary study on the relationships between fathers and sons.
Yeah.
And boys and father figures. Because he's got two really impactful men in his life, and they handle those relationships unbelievably
well. I'll be honest, 90% of that story, I side with his dad. Are you kidding me? This is what you're
doing? Absolutely. 100%.
100%. Like,
and I know what Gran Turismo is, and I'm still like, my kid's not getting in a car. I agree.
Yeah. Like, it's completely relatable from both sides, but I'm on Team Dad on that one.
I'm on Team Dad.
Like, are you kidding me? Are you insane?
Like, obviously.
You just crashed. Don't get into another
30
one.
Years ago, I might have been on Team Jan.
But that's what I'm saying. Right. I was just about to say, like,
the immortality of youth, right?
And obviously we're older, and when we were younger, I'm sure, come on. If you told any one of us that we could have played a video game and made a career out of it, or of playing a video game would lead to a career, we would have been young. We would have been like, come on, mom, dad, like, you gotta let me have a chance.
Yes and no, because I didn't play enough Turismo. I played Street Fighter, and I know I get the shit kicked out of me in real life.
But I related to Jan, but I 100% agreed with dad.
All right.
A, you can't make a career out of this, and B, you're going to die.
Fair. Agreed. I think we're all in agreement. This movie smoked.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're a fan of the video game especially, you'll have some great stuff to pull from it. But even if you're not, this is a damn fine sports movie and a damn fine underdog human drama. It is
highly recommend.
Good. I just, wow. So I'm glad that we watched it. Mm-hmm. I hope when we come back, we'll watch something of equal quality. There's a few things on the table. I just don't know if we've set ourselves up for nothing but disappointment after this.
Bar said hi.
We'll see if we get another, well, half the movies I've chosen or this. So, Wayne, you're in the lead. Congratulations. Ooh. But we thank you all for joining us on Press X to Reload. Mark, you're choosing next. I have been Nick Moore. With me, as always, are Wayne Brissett and Mark Athanas. Gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
See you in the next one.
Meow.
You've been listening to Press X to Reload. Today's episode featured the voices of Mark Athanas, Wayne Brissett, and Nick Moore. Our theme music was composed by Jack Furyk and performed and realized by Sam Furyk. If you like what you've heard today, subscribe and never miss an episode. Or tell a friend, leave a review. We'll take all the bonus XP we can get. If you have suggestions or feedback, you can contact Nick Moore via his email, retrogamingfool@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the next stage.